Women in Politics and Public Life from 1918 to 2018 is the title of a pop-up museum, which is currently running at Dublin Castle, and it's also touring the country, but in Dublin Castle at the moment. The exhibition shines a spotlight on the stories of very familiar and lesser-known women, exploring the challenges they faced and the considerable obstacles they overcame in the world of politics. I'm joined on the line from Limerick by historian and author Sinead McCool, curator of the exhibition. And with me here in studio is Niamh Brannock, former Labour Party TD and Minister for Education. You're both very welcome to the programme. Sinead, a centrepiece of the exhibition is the one of the original cabinet tables used by the Irish government. Do you have any idea how many cabinet tables there have actually been?
Hello, Miles. Thanks very much for having me. Yes, there are three tables. There's the original one used by the Irish Free State, the one that is in Dublin Castle at the moment, which is the middle table, as it were, which was probably used for the longest period in time. During the time that Niamh Brannock was at Cabinet, this was the table. There's a photograph where you can clearly see her sitting at this very table. Then it was replaced in the last number of years because it became electronic. So it's got the electronics built into the table. So it's a modern table, whereas this is the historic one.
There have been 19 women cabinet ministers in total. The first one was Countess Markovic. There was a hell of a gap to the second one, but it's very interesting. I think it says a lot about political figures. 17 of the 19 are still alive.
Yeah, I think that was that's really important to remember, that this is so, in so many ways, a modern story. So when the opportunity came to look at this for the decade of centenary, so it was done as part of the programme that's been rolled out by Minister Madigan's department. I'm working in the commemorations unit, so this was an idea to celebrate the moment of the vote, but also for the women's strand in general, because it obviously relates to the 100 years of the Doyle. So what was important was to tell the story for students. Some of it's not in the history books yet. So I did a lot of original research, looking at the family stories of the first 21 women. So that would be the women up to 1969 who were serving, when there was obviously no women in cabinet, because obviously that didn't happen until Moira Gagan Quinn
It was 60 years, as far as I remember.
Yeah, that's correct. Sorry, I suppose what she was serving in 1969 as a junior minister, with a lovely photograph of the Pope, where she's greeting him with her son. And if you look at it, you'd see it. Think of it as a beautiful looking woman with her child, but obviously she's there in her capacity as a minister in government. So I think what's important in the way that the exhibition is laid out. So it's a pop up women's museum, and the idea is that it tells stories from women's perspective, taking the lead from all the women TDs. So you follow them through the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s and 60s into the 70s, 80s, 90s and to the 2000s. And how we've laid it out is with clothing, objects, pictures, family album photographs, wedding photographs, memorial cards, so that you actually see them as the human interest story, and so that it also tells you a little bit about them. So, for example, it's not just simply a case of someone being elected because they were a widow, and that is a sympathy vote. You then see how long these women served for. You also see things like the illnesses that they had to cope with, the fact that some of them had an opportunity to get a junior minister post in the case of Joan Burke, who is from Roscommon, and she didn't actually accept that post and had to retire in 1981. She had served from the 1960s because of ill health. She'd been in a very bad car accident in the 1970s, and that was the ill health that prevented her from moving onwards.
And not just TDs and ministers, but women in public life, so presumably judges, MEPs, and very obviously a couple of presidents.
Yeah, absolutely. We looked at all the women leaders, and also what I did is, in the context of each of the sections, I based it on the Leaving Cert syllabus, taking the sort of the references from economics or the health or the mother and child scheme or the things that you'd expect, the constitution and all those things, but telling the story as it was from the perspective of women and looking at various different things like religious devotion, looking at things like the best-selling books of the era, which would have been Veritas pamphlets. And so trying to get a flavour for what was influencing people and then how that in turn then reflected on how they voted. And then in the centre of the exhibition, I have the family members talking about what it was like, because obviously at the time in the early years, it was a family business in that people would come to the house. A lot of these women who were elected and continually elected were rural TDs, and the difficulties in managing, and again, we know a lot of them were widows, so they had to manage large families, the farm in some cases, as well as a political life. And it's a really interesting look at a sort of very capable and very able woman. One of the most interesting things about the study, while doing the sort of the underpinning and the research for this, was that I could only come across one woman, and that was Mary Reynolds, who I couldn't trace into secondary school. So obviously in the period before secondary school was freely available to people, the women who actually got secondary school education, who went on, it was very interesting the orders of nuns that educated them and that. And so where the money came for to actually make these women have an opportunity to go on and to have the confidence, I suppose, to enter political life.
Niamh, let's talk about the cabinet table, which is part of one of the centrepieces of this exhibition. Obviously, you sat at that cabinet table. Was it a case when you went into the cabinet room, you kind of, you know, you sort of sat down wherever you felt like, who was first come, first served?
Oh, no, Miles. This was heavily protocoled, I'd say. I was the person at the cabinet table with the least amount of experience. I had been actually appointed a minister on my first day in the Dáil. So that made me automatically the runt of the litter. So I was nearest the door that said exit. And then
did it actually say exit?
No, it didn't actually.
But
there's only one door in and out. So if I would actually have been the first out.
So this was a reminder that you're here on sufferance.
Well,
you're very close to the door and you may not last long.
It's measured up by your seniority would be, have you been in cabinet before? So that's counted, and that actually gets brownie points. And then there's, how long were you in the Dáil? Did you serve in the Senate? So because Michael D had served in the Senate, he was up the pecking order to me, who had served nowhere. So that was how it was judged.
So if you were Minister for Finance, which would be, you know, the second most important position in the land, as it were, and, you know, OK, we'll accept Taoiseach, but if it was your first day in the Dáil, you could end up sitting in the same seat that you were sitting.
Oh, I'm sure protocol would be flexible.
Right.
And would move me up the table. But nobody was being particularly flexible at my time. It was the first time in the history of the state that two women had got in to sit at the cabinet table.
Morta Geoghegan Quinn was
at the
table as well.
Quinn, who I actually couldn't see. It's an oval table. And my position on my way out the door, actually she was on the same side but further up. So for most of the meetings, I could hear her but I couldn't see her. So it was very structured, and how this exhibition is laid out for each of those places at the cabinet table, there are monitors. So there is a monitor full of my memorabilia that Sinead collected. So you can actually go and sit down and press the button and see what actually is the Maura Geoghegan Quinn story, what is the Niamh Brannock story.
And in terms of the memorabilia, because the exhibition is all about material culture, what kind of things did you contribute to it? What kind of things did you hang on to, and have you now handed over to Sinead?
Well, you see, that really begs the next question. Where is everything going to go when the pop-up pops down? One of the things in the exhibition is a poster from Mary Robinson's campaign, which came from my son, MacDara, and it was under his bed. And that, I mean, the memory, there are photographs of my mother and father. There's me as a child in the 50s. There's a lot of the early election literature. But all the time, you're quite aware that a lot of this stuff is actually under people's beds. And I'm hoping, because Sinead has a great record at putting all this stuff together, that actually when it's finished travelling, and I know she's hoping to get a snapshot of the exhibition to different points in Ireland, that maybe Minister Madigan might pick up on something that Monica Barnes was very exercised about in her day, a women's museum. And Monica Barnes worked with Maeve Ruan and with Mary Jones. And I actually sat on that committee where we hoped for an archive and we hoped for a museum. And now that it has got as far as Coach House in Dublin Castle, it's under the auspices of the Department of Art, Culture and the Gaeltacht. Certainly, we seem to have a minister who's particularly interested in the theme of this, that if at the end for Sinead and for all of us who contributed, and we were delighted to do so, but that there actually will be somewhere permanent, that when we do pass on and whatever is found under our beds can actually go off to be judged somewhere else.
I mean, if you're finding stuff under your son's beds, there's obviously a lot more, a lot more to be found. But Sinead, I mean, I was astonished to realise that it took almost a century until we saw 100 women TDs elected. That's not all in one Dáil, that's over a period of 100 years.
Yeah, that was in 2016 that it hit 100, and now it's 114.
So not even a full Dáil still.
Yes, it isn't. I think the importance, though, around this exhibition, just to pick up what Niamh Brannock is saying, is to try and write that story as sort of, in a way, driven by that material culture, to make the point that this is a women's museum about the leading women of the country, the women who had, you know, the top offices. So whether it's collected digitally in a way, or if it's collected through the objects, what's really interesting about the way that it's laid out, and this is the same experience for women's museums all over the world. I think there's 88 of them now, and there's also like another 44 initiatives. And what people have been trying to do across the world is to try and come against what is the traditional museum, which is obviously patriarchal and would have been set up, you know, for the successes of men. And then it's in difficulty of setting up something like this is it seems like as if you're criticizing what's happening in the museums in your region or your country and or even globally. But what's important is the collection. So if people don't know that something has a value, so at least for the even the sitting politicians now, they can look at the types of materials. So whether or not it's a piece of literature from Countess Markovitch, or the bag that she used while she was on the run during the War of Independence, or a dress which was an Irish Ireland dress that was kept because it belonged to Kate O'Callaghan. I mean, that's just in the 20s. But as you go through the exhibition, you know, it changes and morphs over time. So as you make your way through the exhibition and pass the outfit, let's say, that Eileen Desmond wore when she was Minister of Health and Social Welfare in the 1980s, 1981. Again, it evokes the 1980s period. And then as you walk through, you know, you're trying to get a sense of people and things, but also what they did. And not to trivialise what they did by putting it through the objects in any way.
We have to leave it. We've got to get out. But thank you very, very much indeed for talking to us, Sinead McCool, and also Niamh Brannock of the Pop-Up Museum, Women in Politics and Public Life. He's running at the Coach House Gallery in Dublin Castle Gardens in Dame Street until next Sunday, the 3rd of February, and thereafter we'll be going on tour around the country. That's all we've got on this evening's programme. Thanks to Mark McGrath Sound and our researcher Liz Gillis. The History Show is a Pegasus production for RTE. For me, Miles Dungan, the producer, Logan Clancy. Goodbye, and thanks for listening.